good. We good. All right. All right.
We back.
We are back.
It's been a minute.
How's your week going?
Good, bro. So far, so good. You know what I mean? What's today? Monday? I don't even know what day it is.
Yeah, today's Monday.
A lot of most folks may not know unless they travel to the Middle East. The first day of the week in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Dubai, is Sunday.
It's Sunday, yep.
Sunday. So
I actually like that better, though.
I love it.
I don't know why, but the time seems to fly when it's when the work week is Sunday through Thursday, and true, the weekend's true, true, Friday true. And Saturday.
Yeah, we get our Fridays and Saturday. I love it. And it's easier, especially for those back home. Like today, yep. I was able to talk to my son, Salik, back in L.A. You know, mm-hmm. shout out
How's
to
he
Salik.
Doing?
He's good, man. Trying to get him to come out here soon.
But he's like Mooney. He doesn't want to get the vaccine.
Yeah, I want to get the vaccine, man. I can't blame him, bro. You know what I mean? I really can't. When it comes to this vaccine, you really can't blame him, man. To each his own.
No.
You feel me?
Yep. Absolutely.
Like, if I didn't have to do it because of, you know, the stipulation of the laws here in Saudi, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have done it, bro. I would have been like, man. You ain't about to have me.
Right.
But it's Suleiman, man. Shout out to Suleiman.
Suleiman.
Suleiman Jenkins, man. Yeah. We're going to get him on the show later.
The brother.
You know what I mean? A homie, the brother. He's doing some big things. So how was your weekend, bro?
Hectic. Hectic. Huh? You know what's going on with me during,
what's going on with me here
in Saudi Arabia. But everything's going to work out the way it is.
Everything happened for a reason, man. You know what I mean?
I ain't worried.
You ain't going nowhere.
I ain't worried.
You know what I mean? Maybe a year ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You probably would have been ready to get up out of Saudi, but now.
Not yet.
You locked in, bro. You locked and loaded.
I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. Two years ago, I would be like, yo, that's fine by me if I have to leave. Deuces, I'm out, you know?
But now, so what else is new?
Man,
what's new in the world, bro? What's up?
So, the big thing on me, what I'm waiting for, well, right now, we know we got reality season going on, but aside from that, what's going on in the States?
Yes.
So, they finally opened up the football stadium in Inglewood. Okay. And that's, because the Rams moved.
Yeah, dope.
The Rams originally was San Diego Rams.
Yes, they was building it.
Then they went to, I think, St. Louis.
I'm not sure, but
they went to St. Louis.
I was keeping up when they started building the stadium. And then the gentrification came. You start seeing people walking poodles in Inglewood. You're like, how do they get in the middle of the hood?
When did this happen,
And everybody was like, because of that stadium.
Yeah.
They making sure.
So the Super Bowl halftime show that's going to happen in February.
Okay.
Is the big commotion right now.
And how come?
Because first of all, it's one of the, it's a lineup of like the top.
Dr.
Dre. Snoop Dogg.
Okay. But don't watch this, kids.
Mary J. Blige. Kendrick Lamar. And of course.
Yes.
The one and only Eminem.
Okay.
Now the big commotion is.
Yes.
People are hating on the fact that Eminem's on there.
How come?
Because it's supposed to be an all-black lineup, but of course they have to put a white guy in it. Why is it always got to be a race with people?
I don't know. I wouldn't even know. Yeah, I don't, even though we're not promoting music, because you know my stance on it, bro. So we got to be careful with Q.
Because
his stance is different than mine's, but we got to be balanced, you know what I mean? But no promotion of that music and halftime shows and things like that. But why are they making a problem with Eminem?
That's the
thing. Because you got to realize, like, for Eminem, the culture of Black America, for example, you have certain individuals that may not be Black. I know sometimes it's controversial, and I will bring this up. Like, I have homies. I don't use the N-word. You know what I mean? Since I became Muslim, one of the things I tried to do at the beginning is stop cursing. So thank God I don't curse.
Yeah, but I don't know how you did it, but yeah.
It took some time, definitely. It ain't happened overnight. A lot of people got cussed out on my journey, on the journey. But so growing up, man, like the way I was raised, we had a homie named White Mike, for example.
Yeah.
And when I grew up, I looked at White Mike. We knew he was white, but he was one of us. It wasn't it wasn't like he white, let him. And also White Mike was thorough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He had hands.
Yeah.
And White Mike was a gang. He was a G.
He could throw it down.
But he grew up in our community and our culture to the point that White Mike even knew my mother and father.
Yeah.
He knew my mother and father. So, White Mike, he from the hood. He from the streets. He had Chancellor Avenue, OG veteran, but he's white. So when we grew up, we accepted him. It wasn't like, why y'all, that's our homie. That's it, literally like family to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you see people like that, maybe it's the new generation. I don't know, but I'm sure people in Detroit, because Eminem lived in the hood, man. He grew up in the hood around Black people. So I'm sure in his community, he's accepted.
No, in Detroit, I'm talking about, and it's worldwide. Not even the new generation. It's the older generation that's tripping right now. I don't know why.
But
Joe Budden.
Yes.
who used to be with Slaughterhouse.
Yes, I know.
He was signed with Eminem, and then they end up having beef. So he has a podcast like channel.
Yes, I heard
and
about it.
On that podcast channel is like many different, you know, podcast mm-hmm. shows. There's yeah. one called See the Thing Is.
Yes.
That's the name of the podcast show. See the Thing Is. It's with two chicks.
Okay.
Right? Mandy B and Bridget Kelly. Bridget Kelly's okay. a songwriter, composer, yeah. and all that, right?
Okay.
But here's the thing. So they're talking yes. about it and they're like, yeah, we're excited about it. But he's like, they like saying like, there's never been an all black cast lineup yeah. for the halftime Super Bowl show.
Yeah.
It's like, it's always, well, first of all, they always like, got to plug in a white person in
but
it.
Black people, you know, in my opinion, like, we got to stop. It's like you begging the NFL. The NFL has a lot of, you know what I mean? What can I say? You got to be diplomatic, but at the same time, have to be the truth is that
you got to be real.
Like, look at my man. What's my man, Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He stood up for what he believed in. Look what the NFL done to him. So
yeah,
why you guys ain't sticking with him? You know what I mean? Why you ain't stick? It's clear what the stance of NFL.
Yeah.
So to be sitting here saying why they don't get an all black cast, you should be wondering how come they treating they black players in some cases wrongfully.
Yeah.
Focus on that. Exactly. You know what I mean? You focus on that, then you might can get to everything else. But yep. Eminem, man, Eminem, he's an Oreo, bro.
Yeah, you know what I mean? What I'm
the
saying.
Opposite.
Even at one point, Snoop Dogg
he's
said
white
that.
On the outside, black on the inside.
Snoop Dogg
he's
even said
a reverse
he
Oreo.
One of us. He
man,
one of
Eminem,
us.
Eminem, though, he from the hood, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I think every hood got somebody like that where, like my homie White Mike.
Yeah.
Eminem come from the hood of Detroit. You know what I mean? They respect him. I think they trip. I think, man, people just be tripping, bro.
But here's the funny
you know what
thing,
I mean? People
though.
Just be tripping.
They said that, oh, they got this whole black cast, and yeah. then they got the token white guy. That's what they called Eminem, the token
yeah,
white
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
first
yeah.
of all, he's one of the greatest. Lyrically.
Eminem lyrically is he's
They
a
call
genius.
Him the wordsmith, like the word bender.
Yes. Yeah,
that's how
yeah,
good
yeah,
he
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
So for them to call him the token white guy, and here's the absolute funny thing about it. Bridget Kelly, mm-hmm. I think it's Bridget Kelly or Mandy B, one of them.
Yes.
Is half Irish.
Half Irish.
It's like you're like half pale white.
Yeah, half Irish. But you gotta know the culture of America. We have America. Do you know America has something called the one drop blood law?
Yeah, yeah.
So now, even though, like, when you go to England or Europe, I notice I used to see people that's half black and half white, and they call them, what is, half caste or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
America, it doesn't matter. Once you have a drop of black blood, you consider black.
Yeah.
So she probably, her Irish side, it doesn't work.
Okay, now.
She don't get white privilege.
Now, here's this then. Here's this. So you got Drake, right?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
shout out to Drake.
Drake
you know,
black. Even though his mother's white.
He one of my favorites.
He's
you know?
Considered black, Aki. My
yeah,
man.
But he's half black, half white, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And then you got another good phenomenal lyricist, rapper,
yes, yes.
Logic. He's half black, half white too.
Yeah.
And he just...
He look white though.
He's more light-skinned
yeah, yeah, yeah,
though.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He look
white,
more white.
Towards
yeah.
the white
but
side.
But I wonder...
He,
but you know in America...
But they trip on him when he brings the black side out of him.
Why? Because he's more white?
Yeah.
You gotta understand,
But Drake does
bro.
The same thing, but they accept him.
So, you know,
and he's
people,
from Canada.
People,
what's he gonna be gang-banging on? You
but
know?
His father's from Nashville, I think. So he...
they're Canadian. Yo,
he's Canadian, but his father from the hood. I heard his father, boy, he be walking around with jackets on. Nobody messes with Drake's father in Tennessee. I
yeah.
seen a YouTube video. They said, man, Drake's father's good in the hood.
Oh,
you know what? But that's one thing that's a good topic to talk about because... In America, because of the one drop blood law, it's difficult. Usually when you see an African American who's mixed, a black, half black, half white, they usually gotta just say they black.
Yeah.
Even sometimes if they lean more towards their white side, they might get black, they might get some pushback.
They still
you
are.
Know, you know what I mean? They're mm-hmm. gonna get a backlash about that. So I think at the end of the day, they should be able to embrace both sides. You know what I mean? For example, like I have a homie, Tarif. Shout out to Tarif. Good brother. He's the manager of Wu-Tang Clan. Rock, what's his name?
Method Man, Red Man.
Raekwon. He's the homie. He's their security and like their manager.
Yeah.
You know, he's their homie from the hood. He's half white, half black.
Raekwon the chef, right?
Raekwon yeah. the chef, you know what I mean? The homie. So like Tarif, his mother's white, his father's black. But his culture is black. But I think sometimes people like that, they might want to embrace, not Tarif, I'm just talking about in general. Like Tarif is light. If you look at him, you might got to look twice. Is this dude black or white? But
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a white dude trying to be black. But that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people should have a right to choose both sides of they family or who their origin. You know what I mean? Because ain't nobody pure. There's no pure human being that can say I'm 100% this.
Yeah.
Everybody going to have something mixed up.
Even-
but in America, I know it's the only place that for African Americans to embrace their white side.
Yeah.
Maybe because of the racial, that the history we went through.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe that played a part, bro.
I think that played a huge part.
Because if you look at it, it was a time that even if you had some white in you, white people were so against blacks that they made them, they forced them to deny it.
Yeah.
Where they was like, no, you're black. You know, if you look at the history, like, no, we don't care if you have, that's, it was real, a real law called the one drop blood law.
Yeah.
So maybe now, because of these hundreds of years, they just say, man, I'm embracing the only side of my family that embrace me, which is the black side. But things changing, man. If a person come and say, I'm black and white, and this is, you, I accept them who they are. It doesn't matter to me. You know, but Eminem is from the hood,
when
man.
When you talk smack about Eminem, you know that.
Yeah,
that,
he get mad, boy. The Korean, woo. He's a black Korean right here.
Yeah, man, you know what I mean? You don't do that.
Nah, but Eminem from the hood. You gotta understand. People are always gonna have something to say. So I had a homie, Steve Lobel. Shout out to Steve Lobel.
Lobel, yeah.
So Steve Lobel, he grew up in Queens, and he used to say the N-word.
As a full on white dude. Yep.
He grew up in Queens. He grew up with black people. Even though White Mike, I never heard him say the N-word before. Yeah. My homie White Mike, even though he grew up around blacks, I remember as a kid, I said something racist to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That White Mike, he was actually in the Crips. Or Bloods, was it?
Nah, White Mike, because Bloods and Crips came to Jersey later.
Yeah.
The older generation.
They backed him when he went to prison?
Yeah, the older generation never really, but White Mike, an OG, bro.
Yeah, that's what
he been in and out of prison his whole life. Unfortunate.
People won't touch him in prison because...
You know, if they tried, it's not that the Bloods and Crips became the younger generation. He an OG. You know what I mean? He been knocking their OGs out. So he never really got involved in Bloods or Crips, even though my neighborhood is Bloods, you know, in Jersey. But the OGs kind of stayed away from that. You know what I mean? But White Mike, I never heard... He didn't go around using the N-word. So I remember one time, I just wanted to be a deviant. So I was on my porch and he was walking down the street. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to call him a cracker. You know, like a racist.
Oh, yeah, right. Or a
hunky.
Yeah, I remember
a cracker or a hunky.
No, it was cracker. It was cracker. I remember
I
this.
Said,
yeah,
I was yelling something back, and he loved cursing. He cursed me out. Then I said, shut up, you cracker.
Yeah.
I think he said, shut up, you. Hit me with the N-word. And I was like, yeah. I ran in the house, and I tried to tell my uncles and my older cousins and my grandmother. And I was like, yeah, man, White Mike just called me an N-word. Nobody in my house bought it. Nobody brought it. My family was like, man, we don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Because they know Mike Epps. They said, what did you do?
White Mike.
White Mike.
Shout out to White Mike Epps.
Shout out. My grandmother, I think she was a very wise woman. So the first thing she said, what did you do to him to make him say that?
Yeah.
Because she knew his character because she grew up. I said, I called him a cracker because he cursed at me first. She said, see? You called him a racist slur, he said it back. Like, what you expect? But they knew White Mike, you know what I mean?
But they still didn't get angry or anything.
They can't get angry at White Mike, man. He had black African-American.
That's respect right there.
He had black grandkids, and he's the homie from the hood. Yeah. So back to Steve Lobel.
Yeah.
So Steve Lobel come from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And
but he dropping the N-bomb all the time.
He dropping the N-bomb. And at that particular time, I wasn't where I'm at now, and I wasn't Muslim. I'm not paying attention with that. I'm like, he grew up in the hood. He the way he's using it is not... In my opinion, back then, wasn't offensive. I would tell him now not to use it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I don't like to use it. I'd tell him,
regardless, don't use it.
Regardless, don't use it. But back then, he was the homie. He grew up. He was around. He grew up with black people. So one time, we was in a studio, though. And he said the N-word. And Bone was in there. You know,
Bone.
You know, Bone, the OG, the big homie from Afton Parks. You know what I mean? So Bone heard it. West Coast is different than the East Coast.
Yep.
So you got to understand, the East Coast, when we grew up with... You might say a Chinese dude from the ghetto, or the Koreans or Puerto Ricans has always been in the hood, and white people. But the West Coast was different because even in prison, they separated by race. The Mexican gangs here, the white gangs here, and the blacks. So they not used to white people back then saying, what's up, N-word, you know what I mean? So Bone jumped up. He was like, y'all gonna let this white boy say this word like this? So we like, uh-oh. So I was like, Bone, chill, man. That's the homie. I'm telling Bone, I'm like, bro, that's the homie. Bone, like, are y'all crazy? Bro, like, so it was getting heated.
Yeah.
Steve LaBelle ain't no punk. One thing I got to give a shout out to Steve LaBelle.
He didn't back down,
Wasn't back down, but he was respectful.
Yeah.
Bone a G. Everybody know Bone. Yeah. Bone is a G. You know what
training
I mean? Everybody
Bone,
know
right?
that. Yeah, training day Bone. He's an eighth Athens Park general from a blood that's known, but he's also trying to help Bloods and Crips. He passed that where he want to be, you know, unite both of them and trying to help the youth. So Bone was like, man, it got hectic. It got to the point that
it just got real.
We had to slow him down, like, chill. And I remember for some time, it was really some issues with that until eventually, I mean, that, you know, they was able to, you know, you know, Steve knew some people that knew Bone, and they was like, man, just let it, you know, let him go, let it go. But Steve didn't do it again in front of Bone out of respect. Yeah. But Bone was ready, like, bruh, it was crazy. Yeah. So that's why I respect everybody's opinion. Yeah. As long as, you know what I mean? Like, I respect everybody's opinion, bro.
You know what I mean? Now, speaking of New Jersey.
Yes.
This TV show that I got hooked on, it's based on a true story.
Okay.
And 50 Cent is actually one of the executive producers, and he was in it too.
Okay.
It's called For Life.
Oh, that's in Jersey. I heard about it.
It's about Jersey, and it's about, what's his name? Isaac Wright Jr.
Wow.
He owned the club.
Yes, yes.
They pinned a drug trafficking
case on him. It's not about Jersey.
Under at the time, New Jersey, they had the kingpin.
Yeah, they was locking a lot of people up with the king, because especially Newark, Irvington, East Orange, Patterson, and Elizabeth.
So he got 70 years to life.
Wow.
And when he went into prison,
yeah,
he ended up getting his law degree in prison, trialed his own case,
dope,
got freed, and spend the rest now. Wow. Okay, you know what? I got free because of this. Yeah, I'm going to use my skill now as a lawyer.
Damn, so he went in as a drug kingpin, came out as a lawyer.
Well, as a convicted drug kingpin, but he was innocent. Yeah.
He was innocent.
He never touched drugs. He didn't know the club was running drugs behind his back.
Okay.
His partners that he had was doing it.
Yeah, yeah. What part of Jersey?
I'm not quite sure what part of Jersey, but it was based in Jersey. And then from there, he's using it to, like, help the people who are wrongly accused and so forth.
Similar to my homie Weldon, you know, a white dude. Yeah. But that's a dope story. Check this out, bro. I have a homie named Weldon Angelos. I met him years ago. He was a producer from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And he did Salt Lake, Utah. Dang. He did music. That's why we're going to come to that. So he did music with Snoop, Nas, the Outlaws. But when I met him, we clicked.
Yeah.
So he used to fly me out to Utah. Shout out to Weldon. He used to have a lot of, you know, Mexican homies out there. So I used to go out there and kick it with him and do verses and stuff for him.
Yeah.
And eventually he became Muslim. Alhamdulillah, he accepted the religion of Islam. But at that same time he accepted Islam, he was slanging.
Mm-hmm.
He was a recording producer, but he was selling only marijuana. So, but the real reason the law enforcement started, you know, coming at him is because he found out later he's a white boy bringing hip-hop music to Utah. So they was like, man, we need to not let him bring this so-called black gangster culture into it. We're going to get him. So they framed him. So they had an informant purchase weed from him. An informant lied and said, when I bought the weed from him, I seen a gun in the car. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the Utah laws is different.
Yeah, because Mormon.
It's a Mormon and it's a, you know, even to the point when he got arrested and got locked up, the judge gave him 55 years in prison. The weed that he was selling was $100. Imagine $100 worth of weed. But just because this informant, who was a known liar, said there was a gun, even the judge said, he said, you know what? I'm sentencing you to more time in prison than a person would get if he hijacked an airplane.
Yeah.
He hijacked an airplane, he get 25 years. Yeah. You getting 55 years because of this law that's... He said, because of this law that's outdated, but I have no choice. They gave him 55 years in prison. Mm. So while he was in prison, we're going to get Weldon on as a guest. He'll be one of our guests.
Yeah.
So while he was in prison, I was in touch with him, and he was patient, you know, always speaking good. And eventually, after spending 13, 14 years in prison, Barack Obama, you know, helped free
him.
Exonerate him. But you had a lot of... His case blew up because a lot of politicians started speaking about his case. So what he done now when he got out of prison, one of the first people that I helped, like, he got out and said, I want to now, similar to this guy, I know the law now, I want to start helping people who got wrongly convicted or who got unjust time sentences,
yeah,
sentences put on their case. I want to be able to help them. So the first person I hooked him up, I said, bro, you got to help our brother Amir Loon.
Yeah.
He went, the White House, Donald Trump was fighting him all the time. So he was bringing lists of names, and he was able to get Loon out. And he was able to get a few more people out. Then he worked with Kim Kardashian. Mm-hmm. And they worked on a lot of cases, bro. Weldon Angelos, they just verified his Instagram account. He doing a lot of good work.
Man.
So it's crazy when he went in, he didn't expect that when he come out 14, 15 years later, that he feel like one of his calling is to help people that was in a similar situation, yeah, like him, man. You know what I mean?
But that's crazy.
Shout out to Weldon, bro.
Shout
out to Weldon Angelos. Shout we get them all.
Yeah, we got to get them. And then with this other TV show, so my people now. So let's talk to the Korean side. Man, I'm questioning my people now.
Your people been questionable. No, I'm joking.
No.
It wasn't America. Be tripping.
You heard a Squid Game?
I hear, but I keep that's hearing going, about
that's
it.
That's like big right now. Like if you open up TikTok, everything's about Squid Game. Squid
I keep
Game
hearing about it.
So I finally watched it.
What is it about?
It's a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, if you know what I mean.
But it's hot. This seemed like the hottest thing.
It's the hottest game right now.
It's a game
TV
or
show.
Docu series?
No, so it's a series.
A series, okay.
Yeah. Yes. And usually Korean series, they only do one season. That's it. Halas.
So how many seasons they have now?
But this one, they're actually going to have another season coming out.
But everybody's speaking about this. Everybody, I'm talking about from America to Saudi.
It's so gruesome.
What is it about?
It's so gruesome. So the Squid Game is actually a children's game that they used to play in Korea.
Okay.
It's a little bit physical contact, you know?
Yeah. So like tough, fighting and stuff?
So they they go out. It's actually from a book. So the guy who wrote this TV show was trying to get this book published for over 10 years. And nobody would touch it. They're like, it's a little weird. No, we're not going to touch it. So he got it as a TV show.
Now they touch it. It lets you know the time we live in.
Yeah.
That 10 years ago, it was weird. And all of a sudden now, it's one
the
of the
weird
hottest.
Norm.
The weird that we live in some weird times.
Yeah,
you know
the weird is the norm.
So now, So
this show,
like
they go around, right? Like this the secret society.
Yeah.
Who's well funded.
Okay.
Like they stacked, right?
Uh huh.
So they do this like this live human game, and they go around and like people who have like so much debt that they're ready to kill themselves.
Yes,
because they can't pay it. Uh-huh. They'll swoop them up and say, "You want to earn money? Come play in this game. If you win, you could win up to like 500 million won, which is about like $50 million, right?
Yeah.
And or like the druggies and like you know the people who are in trouble.
Yes.
You know, like people who fraudulated the system.
And they need.
And they're about to go get incarcerated unless they pay that money back and they don't know what to do.
Yes.
Like people like that, right? So they all show up.
Mm.
They're like in this big warehouse and they're all like sleeping on bunk beds that are like four bunk beds stacked high.
Yes.
And the thing is, so they don't know what the game exactly is. So that like the first game is like red light, green light. I'm not going to spoil it for everybody. I'm just going to talk about the first one.
Yeah.
Red light, green light. You remember red light, green light?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
The person who's it stands with their back turned and says red light, green light.
Yes.
And then when she says red light,
And then
you turn
red light,
and whoever
you
moves, you're out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in this case, if you move, blah.
What?
They kill you.
And they don't know that they're about to get their head blown off.
No. So until they actually try and then that one person moved and they're just going to do, 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 do. Like, it was crazy. I was watching this. I was like, what the?
The crazy part, somebody might try this in real life. You know how.
That's what I'm worried about. You know? Yeah, like,
so they just run around killing people. They thinking they're going to get
their
debt paid.
So
this really got
like
people really into
like
this.
Show, like a kid game.
Wow.
And if you lose, you die.
But is anyone winning? So what happened to the people that's winning and watched the competitor get their head blown off? They stay and continue playing?
No, so they...
They
after
forced
that,
to play?
After that first game, they lost almost half of the people. There's like 500 people who's competing.
Yes.
About half of them died in that red light, green light
game. So the 250 people, they said, like, let me go.
And of course, they're told to sign contracts before they did.
Yeah.
But every game, after every game, whenever someone dies, there's a big piggy bank hanging from the wall. Like
so they
huge
want that money.
From the ceiling. And it fills up with money.
So they like, man,
so
you know
off of
what?
That first game,
that
it's already like 20 million won.
So they like,
which is like $2 million in there already.
So they like, man, we just going to die or get that money.
Yeah. So in the contract, there's a clause in there saying if majority votes to leave the game, then we'll allow it. You could go back home and you go back to your lives. But the
because
money
of the greed,
right there,
the greed of the people, they want that money.
Yeah, but you guys don't get that money. That money is going to go to people who died.
Okay.
To their families.
Damn, that's
so
crazy.
So they did. They all voted though to leave the game because they thought this is like insane.
The Korean brain is a strange thing.
Then when they go back home, they go back to their problems. They're like, oh, we can't do it. So they end up going back to the game.
They go back to the. They can't sneak no guns in. No. Bro, they gotta sneak a gun in. I'll go back try to. I had me a gat like
who,
yeah. We
the guy
now
who wrote this.
We don't even playing field.
Right.
Doom.
The guy who wrote this is like so precise.
Wow.
And accurate like.
crazy, bro.
Like the way, if you watch, if you ever do watch it, which I doubt it, because it's really gruesome.
Yeah, I don't really, really watch gruesome. That weird stuff, man. But it's crazy. But I keep hearing everybody talking about it.
Everybody talking about it, and then,
that could have been you who got the and then they series, told me, bro, you got the Korean brain. Why do you think like
yeah,
this?
Yeah, but I'm not crazy though. I'm not cooking for cocoa puffs. I'm American Korean.
Yeah, but it's in your DNA. You just got to tap in it. You just got to sit down and just think like, you know, the Korean face be looking serious.
Yeah,
no emotions. Like I'm sure it started. Yeah, it started coming up. You might be like, hold on. Yeah. We about to make a hit.
Man, so but it's crazy.
I hear everybody talking about
everybody
this, bro.
Everybody was That's talking crazy. About it, especially like the Saudis.
Because I seen a funny thing, yeah, because I was watching and I seen like the, it was like a meme, Squid Game Arabia, the Arab mother. So you see like the Arab, because you know they love throwing slippers. They say the Arab mother.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was actually from the show.
That's crazy,
so instead you get shot, you get hit by a slipper.
Hit with a slipper.
Which, you know what, that's crazy though?
Yeah.
That's an Asian thing. That's a Hispanic thing.
The slipper thing is worldwide, bro. That's the easiest thing to just kick off your feet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like my grandma, you know.
You told me she had the aim.
Dude, yeah, she, I don't know how. She couldn't see. Like,
how old was your grandmother?
Her eyes are half closed, so I know everything she sees is like in a widescreen.
How old was she though?
At that time, I don't know how old she was at that time. When she passed away a couple years ago.
Yes.
Actually, no, she passed away like 10 years ago. Yeah, she passed away 10 years ago, but she died at 106 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she probably had at least 80 years of hitting people with slippers, bro. Yeah. She was accurate.
So with
at
me,
at least
though,
80 years.
No, but with me, as you get older, you get a little tougher. Especially if you're getting a lot of fights, you know. And then,
of course.
So the slippers didn't work, so she started using the belt. At first, that belt stung and it hurt.
Yeah.
But you get used to that.
Yeah, used to it. Like my brother.
You just pretend. You act like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know, like my brother Mooney, whenever he used to get a whooping, he used to just do this.
Yeah.
And that's what my grandparents knew, like, something ain't right with this boy.
Like in the movie Glory with Denzel Washington? Yeah,
something ain't right with this boy.
With a straight face, like, just getting hit, you know?
Yeah, like, you just like, this guy have issues.
Yeah, but then my grandma made me, she said she went to a switch.
Yeah, that's them switches.
Like, go outside and bring me something to hit you with.
Because they look skinny, so
you
think
how mine, like, it messes up your mind because you're going out to get the weapon that's going to hurt you.
Wow.
So I try to be, you know, smart aleck kid that we are. We went and got the thinnest twig, and I was like, this ain't going to hurt. So I gave it to her, and she's like, oh, okay, you got jokes. She hit me. I see blood. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's 90. Boy, that's
you,
probably.
Or here's. And I'm 80, like, oh.
Yeah, she probably had 80 years of doing that wrist. That wrist probably was strong.
Yeah, it was 80 about years. Hitting you. It was about whipping
you. Yeah, the 80 years, man.
Woo. Yeah.
That's crazy, bro.
But no. So a couple, where I work at right now, I work with a lot of, you know, military and all that.
Yeah.
And I remember I was talking to some Saudis, and they're the ones who are telling me, Saudi military soldiers, they're telling me about the Squid Game and all that.
Yeah, everybody watching.
And then they're like, yeah, it's Korean. And I was like, hold up. Why am I the last one to know about this show when Korean. I'm Korean, But then that's...
Bro, that's like everybody, I keep hearing it, you know, it went viral out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
It's crazy. And he waited for 10 years. See, patience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe you... Let's go to your notebook, bro. You might have wrote something about 10, 15, 20 years ago.
I'm gonna dig all that up.
Give it to me, I'll find it.
I'm gonna have to dig all that up.
Give it to me, I'll find it. I'll tell you when Netflix call us.
Yeah.
It'd be written by Muta Bill. Yeah. Your name be scratched out.
No, I'm but joking, then we're also talking and they asked me a really good question. Yeah. They're like,
yes.
When you first came here, what'd you think about Saudi Arabia? They asked me that. And I said,
What did you think? Honest. Keep it a buck.
When I got the job to come here, and I was like 2 weeks out. I was 2 weeks from flying over here.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, I was scared.
Why though?
I was scared because the only thing you hear about Saudi Arabia is bad stuff.
Mm.
You know, terrorism. Oh, Islam is like the very extreme Islam. I always thought that Islam was all extreme, like all violent.
Yeah, because of the media.
Negative
the
and
media,
extreme.
The media, of course.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And you know what? That was 3.5 years ago, because I've been here for 3.5 years, and people still think that right now.
Unfortunately, you got a lot of ignorant people of the religion of Islam. Is probably the most misunderstood religion on the earth.
Well, it's not even ignorant, though. It's the fact that
you don't
hear anything good about Saudi Arabia because Saudi Arabia is so like...
No, it's not because Saudi Arabia purposely...
Not purposely.
Bro, purposely, Aki. Trust me. Purposely, you got to understand, like, Islam, you have... Even though Saudi Arabia is closed, they don't say the good they do.
Yeah.
But when you hear people... Like, for example, when you hear people that do, like, you know, that speak about Saudi Arabia, these Western media outlets, they only focus on negativity.
Yeah.
They can come here. I forgot which. I think it might have been CNN or BBC. They came here and did a show. And when they edited, they seemed like they only focus on the negative aspect. So some people
but
purposely.
But that's CNN, though. CNN does
BBC,
all the time,
oh, that's Western media until the Muslims have our own media. Now we have Instagram, American Snapchat. Media. Now we can get to show the truth of it.
But people still don't know that. You know,
yeah, people
like,
don't know.
People
because,
still
you know,
are afraid to come here. They're like, I don't know about Saudi Arabia. I don't know anything about it. That's what it is.
Yeah, they don't
I
know,
don't
nothing
know
about
anything
it. Saudi
about
Arabia
it
is one
there.
Of the safest countries on the planet.
Yeah, but people don't know that.
You know what I mean?
The only thing people know from the last 2 years was Lil Wayne when he came here and he had a bad
everything
experience.
Negative. Yeah, everything negative.
And he went on a media outlet and talked bad
about
Saudi
Arabia. Most people don't know, bro. And even a lot of Muslims might not know this. Do you know, after the USA, Saudi Arabia is the second largest donor to countries in need? Muslims and non-Muslims. Look with the guy we sat
Nigeria.
With yesterday. What's his name? Ori.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ori. He's a friend of my cousin Colin who's visiting Saudi Arabia. He's a Nigerian American. Yeah. He was in a helicopter crash in Rwanda.
Rwanda.
And he said when they shipped him to the hospital, they took him to King Faisal Hospital. The hospital was donated
by
King Faisal. Saudi Arabia does a lot of this, but nobody never heard of it. Nobody, we would have never knew that it was a King Faisal Hospital in Rwanda.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they do a lot of good for people.
You think BBC, CNN,
they ain't
gonna
talk about that.
They're going to talk about, Saudi Arabia just donated a hospital.
And it's not just based
Rwanda?
On Saudi Arabia.
No.
It's not based on Saudi Arabia. It's based on, if you look at Western media, how they portray Islam in the media. For example, when a Muslim does something negative, they will let you know. A Muslim Arab man, 25.
Yeah.
If a white guy does the same thing, they would say a white, they won't even say white. American child, he had a hard child. Bobby had a hard child life and he flipped. Like, look at that. Look how, but they won't say his religion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we know that they doing this purposely, Yaki. We know what I mean? So, but you get to see the true face of Saudi Arabia.
I mean,
you lived there for 3 years.
When the Olympics happened in Tokyo recently, you know, Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg had their own, like,
not
a podcast, but like a media show where they talk about the events going on in the Olympics.
Yes.
And there was a segment where when the country is walking
Saudi
in
Arabia,
and they're representing the country, like
Australia,
they're saying like, oh, they look like Kangaroo Jack, you know,
so.
they're roasting each country.
Yeah, true.
And then Saudi Arabia came and they're like, nope, I'm not saying anything. I'm not even looking. Like,
but you heard what they said also.
Well,
to me, it was respect.
Snoop Dogg said, I'm not gonna even look at the women.
Snoop Dogg was like, I'm not even gonna look at the women.
If you keep on watching it. At the end, he was trying to say, I'm not going to say nothing bad at all.
Good.
Because I don't want them rolling up on me. Like,
but I think that black people have, especially African American, they have a different respect towards minorities or other people of color, I think. You know what I mean? So I look at like...
Because they're roasting everybody,
I look at it as that was respect. You know what I mean? Because if you look at the comments, I see even African American women in the comments saying, y'all should respect our women the same way you respect them. Because they was like, nope. Snoop Dogg was like, no, I ain't even gonna look at their woman.
Yeah.
Because in America, it's known. Like, I seen a YouTube channel of a dude in Detroit. He accepted the religion of Islam only because he said the way the Yemenis was honoring their woman. Because in Islam, I'm gonna be honest, I was a Christian my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't know no other way of life that respect the woman the way Islam does.
Yeah.
Where the guy said, I became Muslim because I knew that these Yemeni men, they willing to die to protect their daughters. They willing to die to protect their wives. So this is also in the hood. Snoop got homies that are Muslim. You know what I mean? Kevin Hart, I'm sure, got homies. You ain't going to find no African-American who don't have Muslim friends that explain to him, like, no, our woman is sacred. Not just Saudi women. Whether it's a Muslim woman from Korea.
Yeah.
For example, if a Muslim woman from Korea walking here, she's my sister. If somebody try to attack her, I'm willing to die for this woman.
Yeah.
Even if I don't know her. She have a hijab on, she my Muslim woman. I'm dying for my Muslim woman. In general, I won't let nobody attack any woman, whether they Muslim or Christian or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's something about Islam that we gonna go that over.
Damn.
You know what I mean? I won't let nobody attack a woman regardless of their religion.
Yeah.
But when you see that hijab on, something click.
Especially,
it's going down.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I just think they need to market a little bit better.
But they have to. You know what I mean? I think if people really know the truth about Saudi Arabia, more people will come. You are right when people, unfortunately, they still think bad of Saudi Arabia. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
They still think Saudi Arabia is not a safe place. You have to, especially in America.
And I want to change that. I want to change that perspective.
You have to, bro.
And I'm trying to, I want the world to stop being so 20 years ago where
Definitely.
They go off of what they see on exactly. the news media.
Exactly.
You know, first of all, the racism is still, as I yes. can see from what the beginning of the show we talked about,
yes,
racism
yes.
still there. So that's
it's rampant, big, man.
Like, what the heck, you know? Like,
yeah.
haven't we learned in the last 50 years?
In America, even though we did come, you know what I mean, we made some strides for, you know what I mean? It ain't like before. Like, when you hear stories of my grandmother, probably your grand, my grandmother's born, I think, in 1901.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Something 1910 or something. Like, so when you hear the stories of what my grandmother used to say, and then when we was growing up, it changed. Even now it changed, but of course you're gonna have ignorant people everywhere.
Yeah.
No, because you're not in paradise yet on earth. So no matter what country you go to, even though, for example, Saudi Arabia is a very safe country,
mm-hmm.
But you might have, you will see some things that you can say that it's not the norm, but it might happen out of ignorance. Yeah. A person might do something, even in Saudi Arabia, out of ignorance, but you know that it's an overall safe country. Yeah. America, may Allah guide our peoples, you know what I mean? It made some strides, it came a long way. Still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
One of the things is racism. Yeah. You know what I mean? It just seemed like, I don't really know, bro. I don't know how.
I think we invented it.
Bro,
America?
The devil invented it. I don't know how. Yeah, you're right. But I don't know how you think. I don't know how a person can think the color of their skin make them better than someone else. Like, you gotta be a slow person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Your brain have to be working in a very small capacity. If you really think just because of your skin color, wallahi, I swear by Allah, I'm not lying. One time I was in Qatar. And I had a thobe on. I just moved to the Middle East.
Yeah.
And I had a thobe on, and I was sitting in the lobby because this is the time when Wi-Fi was weak in the room. So I go to the lobby, but it was like, in the lobby, I mean, not, did I say library?
Yeah, you said lobby.
Lobby. In the lobby, but it was like 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, I got this thobe, like this Emirati or Qatari thobe, and I'm just on my phone. I think it might've been BlackBerry, whatever phone it was. And over there next to me, it was an American guy, white American guy. He was drunk, you know what I mean? So he said some words to me, and I spoke back in English, and he was shocked. He was like, oh, you speak English? I said, bro, I'm American. He's like, you're not American. I said, I'm American. He said, but why you wearing a thobe? I said, I'm Muslim. I'm in a Muslim country. This is comfortable. This is what I want to wear. You know what he said?
What?
He said, I would never have to dress like that to fit in. He said, do you see this face? He said, this skin in this face?
Yeah.
His exact words was, I am a god to the people in this region.
Oh,
I remember getting so angry. I said, so you think your skin and your face make you something special? And this guy literally was telling me, because of his white skin, and this, he said, in this region, meaning in Qatar, Arabia, he's a god to these people. And I was like, you got to be crazy. You got to be crazy. But with white supremacy and the way they market it, the way
they pass it on to the children too.
Yeah. Some people might think that. Like, you got people that might literally hire you. You got, unfortunately, it can be, we know in America this happened, but you can go, I hear stories that in Europe it happens, even in Africa, even in some parts of Arabia, you have a person, they both qualified.
Yeah.
It can be an African American, a Black American, White American, Asian American, everybody equally qualified. But because of this white supremacy, the way they market it around the world, the person will go with the white person because they think that's going to be more value to their company.
Yeah. And it's
a disease of the hearts. and also, you got to understand, white supremacy is real. They did an amazing job at marketing white supremacy. Yeah. Imagine growing up in America and every billboard at one particular time was all only white faces.
Yeah.
Whether they selling shampoo, diapers, you know, people of color and minorities, whether they was Asian, Blacks, Mexicans, Latino, they had to fight just to say no. Huggies, for example, we buy your diapers too. Why we can't see no Latino babies or some Black babies? So we literally had to fight. But the white supremacy marketing tactics work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's everywhere. Not just in America, Africa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for you to think, your skin color makes you special, you out your mind.
Yeah.
You already.
I used to throw back on them. When they would use their skin saying, hey, it's because I'm white, I get all the benefits. When I was in the grade school, you know?
Yeah.
Like me and this white kid got in an argument. And I'm like, why are you so angry? Like, I'm telling him that. Like, why are you so angry?
Yeah.
You're white. You won.
Yeah.
You stole the whole country and got away with it. You won. Smile, have a Coke, you know?
Like, but you got poor white Americans who are angry.
Yeah.
Because they like, we ain't benefiting from what we thought even, we was going to benefit then,
they
from.
Think, they still think they're better than some of them. Like, this is back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
I'm pretty sure it's a lot better now.
You still have some people like that, unfortunately. That
they might
think because of the color of their skin, unfortunately, they think they're... But that lets you know how bad the devil, the shaitan, just destroyed these individuals. And it's arrogance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's arrogant because at the end of the day, everybody going to be in that grave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to be in my grave. You're going to be in it. When we face God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he's not going to judge us because he's white, so he get extra privilege. Or he's Arab, he gets extra privilege. No, he going to judge us by our deeds, our actions, our belief system, by our souls. So none of that stuff going to work.
Exactly.
Like, you have people, you might find somebody like that even in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
You might find some people that might say that they might be related to the Prophet Muhammad and true.
Yeah.
Is you really? I know friends that's related to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have actually my kids' relatives in UAE from their father's side go back to the Prophet. So I know people like that. And I remember speaking with a guy and he was arrogant about it because he related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I hit him. I said, but you can be related to Abu Lahab.
Mm-hmm.
Abu Lahab is the Prophet uncle who Allah cursed in the Quran. I said, so don't make the only way, even as Muslims, the good thing about that, if you related to the Prophet Muhammad, the only way we love and respect you if you follow his teachings.
Yeah.
That's why the Prophet Muhammad said, Bilal is of me. Bilal was an African, he was a slave that became a Muslim. And the Prophet said that he's from me. He's from my household. Even though he wasn't. Why? Not because he's black or he related. Because his taqwa. So Allah was showing us because of your taqwa, the Prophet, Islam, we bring you close. Not because of skin color.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not we bring you close on... One, it teaches to treat everybody respectfully. When the first time you walked in my coffee shop, I showed you love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Islam teaches to show love to everybody, whether they Muslim or non-Muslim. We got to show respect to everybody. And then, regardless of their skin color, you know what I mean? Once you start practicing Islam, we don't even think like that.
Yeah.
But you do have Muslims that think like that. Let's keep it real. Got to keep it a buck.
That's everywhere. That's the whole world.
We got to keep it a
There's
buck because...
There's always going to be places where you go and then the people...
Of course. But one thing I got to clarify, we have Muslims who behave like that, but that's from the ignorance of religion of Islam.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing... Even the Prophet Muhammad said a black is not better than a white. A white is not better than a black. An Arab is not better than a non-Arab. And a non-Arab is not better than an Arab. Allah doesn't judge him by these things, by their race. He said the only way Allah judge a person or the only way this person is better than that person is through his piety.
Yeah.
You know, the Prophet said that, you know what I mean? 1400 years ago. So when you see a Muslim that think he's better because he might say, I'm an African-American Muslim or I'm a white American Muslim, I'm an Arab Muslim, I'm an African Muslim, I'm better than you, I'm from this tribe. That's in reality, he's ignorant of his own religion.
Yeah.
May Allah guide us all.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, here's a funny story. Here's a funny story though.
Yeah.
Right before I came here, right before I went to Korea to work in Korea, I had to stay in Virginia for like 6 months, right?
Uh-oh.
And like again, I thought segregation was done.
Oh boy, oh boy.
You know? So I go to Virginia, and I'm at Virginia Beach,
uh-huh.
and I'm driving to Portsmouth. You know, Portsmouth is like the Compton of Virginia. It's the hood.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I'm at home. You know, I'm like, I'm actually comfortable. Then I make this one turn, and I swear to you, this wallahi, this thing was like just all hood.
Compton.
I made one turn, and adjacent to the hood, it was an all white neighborhood. Like I swear.
Ghetto?
I thought
Virginia
I was in
got some white ghetto neighborhoods.
Like a white, and you always see is Confederate flags hanging around.
Oh, yeah, that's the that's
And then
the
I made
South.
Another turn, and next thing you know, I swear to God, I thought I was in the movie Get Out. Like, I was like, if I start hearing the T sound,
that's Virginia,
I'm
bro.
I'm about to Fast and Furious this thing, you know what I mean? Like,
that's the Bible belt, bro.
Woo!
Woo! But you made it out of there.
Yeah, we made
it out.
They
ain't skin you alive. They ain't say, hey, boy, we gonna skin you alive, boy.
Here to do the Moon Q show, and we good.
We good, bro. Yeah. You know I gotta pray.
Yep.
We gotta stop this show, baby. All right?
No, we done.
We done.
We good. All right? We good.
Peace. All
right, peace out.
Peace.
We out.
Manscaped. Stay fresh, clean start, head to toe, finishing touch, extra refinement. Bro, what did you bring me, man?
Man.
What is this?
All right, so the support for Mutu Q
yes.
is brought to you by Manscaped.
Okay.
All right, Manscaped, they They are the men's grooming champions of the world. Not just the city, Craig. The world.
The world?
That's one of my favorite lines.
Wow. So world. You really mean the world.
Yeah. Because what they do is they offer a precision engineered
dope
grooming technology.
But I like to look rough, man. I don't touch my beard. I like to look a little rough.
What about from the neck down, though?
Oh, yeah, from the neck down, we got to stay smooth,
like, when you
man.
Take your shirt off, it's going to look like you have a sweater.
You got to be smooth, man. You're right,
you know what I mean? Some people are like that. You know what I mean? I like to feel silky smooth, you know?
Silky smooth, huh?
You know, like...
silky, silky smooth?
Yeah, just for me. Just for me, you know? The way I feel, like, I want to be silky smooth from the neck down. So
I'm going to give it a try then. I'm going to give it a try, man.
So what it comes with is this set is a special thing. Now, they just started in UAE.
Okay.
They just launched in the new way, and this is the fourth generation of trimmers.
Okay.
Right? And the lawnmower 4.0. Mm. 4.0.
Mm.
Which means there's been many, many versions before that, but this is a 4.0.
Dope.
This one is... Dude, look at that. That looks...
Yeah, that looks dope.
That looks pretty...
That looks dope.
I think Manscaped is the Rolex of men's grooming.
Wow. Say no more.
Not Casio.
Say no more. I'm buying.
Rolex.
I'm in.
Okay, order. So this is the
give
nose
me your credit card. I'm ordering today.
Yeah. Yeah, so that it comes with this. We call this the weed whacker.
The weed whacker.
Okay. You know, because some people, they'll be having like...
This for the nose and the hair.
The hair trimmer in the ear. Man, I'll be seeing some people's ears and I'm like, dang.
Yeah, you know, my grandfather from Cuba, he kind of had like that afro coming out of his ears.
Yeah, right?
And I'm actually following suit.
I call it the Allen Iverson here.
I'm right behind him, so I'm glad that.
Yeah. But then, the way it looks.
Even the way it is modern, the weed whacker.
Yeah, the weed whacker.
That's dope right there.
Yeah.
Okay, what else we got in this box?
So the box comes with like.
Can I see?
The crop reviver.
The crop reviver, okay.
Right? It's toner.
Dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
And then you got the crop preserver.
The crop preserving.
Which is deodorant, not only for your armpits, but everywhere else, you know?
Dope.
Yeah.
What else we got in that box?
Here's the amazing part. Look how slick and slim that is. Honestly, when I first got this, I was like, where do I charge this at?
Facts.
But it comes with like a little charging dock that you just put it on and it charges it. Like the technology. I'm like, this got to be made by Koreans. My people had to make this.
Nice.
As nice as it looks, I know my people
made it. Check that out, man.
Yeah,
that looks dope.
Nice. Oh, the camera's over there.
I try to play it off. Look, I did it slow. Look, well, actually, it's three cameras in this room. Yeah. Korean. Korean try to make us look like we don't make. It's a camera there, and it's a camera there. Say the camera recording is over there. So now, but you saw me try to play it off. When you said that, I did like this.
Yeah, I was smooth with it.
Smooth as Manscaped.
So this upgraded trimmer, right? This upgraded trimmer includes a multi-function on and off switch.
Okay.
So like you can actually travel with this. So if you click it three times,
yes,
it won't turn on while it's in the bag.
Dope.
So that's what's good about this.
Dope.
Right? Manscaped.
And
that name, man. They got it with the name.
Yeah, they doing anything, man.
Amazing.
Marketing is amazing. I'm gonna try it out.
Yeah. So and then it's wireless charging too, by the way.
Wow.
Did I mention the wireless charging?
Did you mention that?
The weed whacker and the lawnmower. This is called a lawnmower.
Lawnmower 4.0. The names are killing me, bro.
Yeah, right.
Check them out. Y'all see it. We over here with it. Check it out.
Now, here's the best part of this.
Okay.
You get a 20% discount
if
when
they
you
mention
use the code MUTUQ.
MUTUQ, get your 20% discount.
20% discount when you use MUTUQ at manscaped.com.
And
for our Saudi viewers, they just launched in UAE, which means they could deliver here tomorrow.
One day.
Bukra.
One day delivery. Bukra.
Right? That's tomorrow.
Bukra.
Right?
Bukra. He said Bukra. Bukra's did he just
tomorrow,
curse in Arabic?
Bukra.
Bukra. But I think he might have just cursed himself in Arabic.
No, I meant tomorrow. Bukra.
Bukra. Bukra.